You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
So then game five, play with the mask. You guys are down in the... going into the fourth quarter.
Yeah,
you're down in the fourth quarter. And then you explode in the fourth quarter. You hit, at one point, four straight threes, 16 points in the fourth quarter. Mm. Is that right?
Well,
how many? Or 14 points in the
14.
Fourth quarter?
Yeah, 14.
Yeah, 14 in the fourth quarter.
I'm acting
quarter.
Like I don't know. It's 14. It's 14.
That's right. It, you know,
it's four threes or two.
You may have them on a custom shoe somewhere.
We are back.
Another episode of R2C2.
We're keeping it going off-season style here.
Yeah, man.
We're on a roll, man. So we had your good buddy last week in Charles Oakley. And now we have my pal, Sue Bird, this week. And honestly, I feel like you guys are friends now, too, after, like, she's a two-timer on the podcast.
Yeah, she's back. And it's exciting that she wanted to come back. And she's always a great conversation. So this is going to be fun.
I'm looking forward to it.
I got this TV show idea that I got in my head, like, Best Damn Sports Show reboot type of thing. She'd be perfect for it.
Right?
She'd be perfect for it. She knows all sports. She's funny as hell. Like, I think she'd be perfect for it.
You know what I love, too? Like, now we can really start planning. Now that we know, like, all right, 2019 is the final year of your baseball career, too. You can, like, you could start having dates for when all these executive producer CC Sabathia programs come out.
Like,
you know?
LeBron.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You're going to have a documentary on Showtime, another one on HBO. Like,
oh, shit.
Man, I just hope I get a seat at the table, man. This is fun. But seriously, she's that kind of, like, interesting woman. She really is.
Yeah, we're fresh off the championship, too, so it's going to be fun.
That's true. Sue Bird on R2C2. When I do a Warriors game, I always like take a pause for what I should say for where I am, because like if you like welcome back to Golden State, it's like that's like not really a place, you know, like, but
nah, like for me, like being from the Bay, you should say welcome back to Oakland.
See, right? Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Right.
For one more year.
Yeah.
until they go to San Fran.
That's true. But that is like what I should say. But then I'm like, it feels, I don't know, like, because I feel like in my mind, it's always like it's broader than just San Francisco, which is obviously not in, or just Oakland. It's like the Bay Area. But then it's like, then you're like, welcome back to the Bay Area. It's like, imagine being at the Garden and being like, welcome back to the metropolitan area.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's messed up. So sometimes I just settle with Oracle, I think. Like, anyway, this is what goes through my head.
Go in with a list.
Yeah, exactly. When I do a Warrior game. No, because, you know, like, if we don't have a sideline reporter, then I do...
I've noticed,
I had to get out there.
Doesn't that suck? You got to take all your stuff off.
I know.
You
got
to get up. You got to go around the court. I've had to do it a couple times.
I know. Yeah. And then you're running back. So Steve Kerr, actually, the other day on my game, he had fun with me with it. He's like, all right, now don't you have to go do play-by-play? And I was like, yes. He's like, well, get over there. So
what's ESPN doing, bro? You ain't got no sideline or whatever?
Man,
I mean,
they're
cutting people back.
I think so, man. You want to, hey, wouldn't it be fun for you to come be the sideline reporter for a game?
No,
you don't like that? What do you think about this, Sue? CeCe's idea for broadcasting the future would be that the announcers don't ever have to wear suits.
No.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
Right?
There's a lot of things where I'm like, why are they dressed up right now?
That makes no sense.
And then when you do it yourself, you're like, why am I getting dressed up right now?
To go talk about basketball.
Yeah,
or
and you're
baseball.
On camera for 2 seconds.
Yeah. That
seconds.
Is true. Like, I know that's...
Beginning of the game,
yeah.
Whatever. Like, coming back from halftime. Maybe in between, like, a commercial
maybe.
Or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, if it's a close game late and there's a bunch of timeouts,
right?
They might put you on camera real quick.
And
you're
then
setting
it's like that far
up.
Camera where you guys are kind of like...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Wait, where?
Like, from the distance.
Yeah, let me see. Yeah. I know. It's like, we always joke with, like, the certain certain broadcasters have like on camera quotas, like, you know, hey, got to make sure you get them on camera a second or third time. But it is true. You really are on camera for like
a total of a minute.
And maybe. Nobody in there is wearing a suit.
No.
Like, yeah. Who, everybody's there comfortable. The players are in their uniform. The people there are,
right,
you know, with comfortable basketball, you know, watching a basketball game close. So why not, you know,
be one of the people. I know. I mean, it would save me a lot of money if I didn't have to wear suits for all these games.
Or not, because you'd probably be wearing like Gucci hoodies and shit.
You imagine that if that's what I did the game in? That's what it became about. Yesterday, I did Nets Sixers. And there was a, you know, like, as much as obviously a lot of people are just like casual at the game, you know, like, there are some people who, like, they come to the game.
Oh,
and
it's
they,
a scene.
Oh, it is a scene, right? A like, scene. With how they dress for the game. Like,
oh, down courtside. Like,
oh, yeah.
Ball,
oh,
for
you
sure.
have to, yeah. right?
Well, I mean, when you
especially
go,
depending on where you go. Yeah. You go to the Garden, who's playing, you know what I'm saying? You got to be dressed up, bro.
So, okay, so you think about your outfit. When you came to Warriors Nets and you were sitting courtside a week ago, you're like, I gotta have a nice outfit for this.
Yeah, for sure. But then when I went to Knicks Nets the night, the next night I just wore a hoodie.
It's sad,
it's
true, but
true,
isn't it? Yeah. Oh my gosh.
No, same. I when I went to the Warriors played the Kings at Key Arena, so it was like a big to-do in Seattle because it's like it was the last event before they're remodeling the whole thing. I definitely thought about what I was wearing.
And we saw you too. Like, you were on ESPN, so I had it.
How about when you and you also on your championship tour, you were on the field.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Congratulations, Sue. When you were on your championship tour, you also had is it still Quest Field in Seattle? The
CenturyLink.
Yeah. Wait, when was it Quest?
A long time ago.
It was.
That's I respect that. Sometimes it slips out of my mouth too.
Oh my gosh! Yeah. It's funny how that happens.
Yeah,
they change.
Shea Stadium.
Oh yeah, exactly. I know. Right. Yeah. I know. It happens all the time. But when you were on the field there with the Seahawks, was that like a special outfit in mind day too? But it's a little cold.
I had a Seahawk jersey on.
Oh, well.
Which they provided, which is very nice of them. And I literally picked it out like as I was walking out there. They're like, oh, we want you in some sort of Seahawk. And I was like, oh, give me a jersey. I'll wear a jersey.
So not a lot of options.
That one was more, because that's like you're just out there for 2 seconds, a wave. It was just like an acknowledgement. And then you're back in your seat. Courtside's different.
Yeah.
That's
like you're there.
You're there.
Yeah.
The whole time.
The
everyone's
whole
like
time.
Examining.
Right.
CeCe wore this really cool like jacket with a bunch of colors. I'm going to pull up the picture.
Oh, I'm trying to think. Oh, no, the Versace
for
the, jacket.
Yeah, for,
mean,
was
yeah,
that
yeah.
was it Versace?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't swim in that pool, man. So I don't know.
That's all.
I know about those waters.
Amber dresses me, bro. So that's
she,
just, you know.
Yeah. I'll tell you what. She does a great
out,
job.
I was like, hey, put
look
that
look at how dope that is.
That is dope.
I mean, this was, I mean, not that you don't remember it as I show you, but like this was fantastic. I'll tell you what, every now and again, I catch myself feeling bad because one time early on in our podcast career, I made a joke about like, oh, what kind of fashion sense do you have? Not saying CeCe didn't, but just like that's not what he's known for. And now ever since I've said that, I've noticed like CeCe has terrific fashion sense.
He's upped his game or it was already there?
No, it was already there. I think I was just being a jerk. Yeah. Like he really had like
we probably only see him like in the clubhouse.
In a yogi t-shirt.
Okay, there you go.
Like, it's so funny. During the season, every podcast we do.
And you know what's crazy is that I have that on every podcast. Yeah. But like I brought him home.
Did you
so
really?
I wear the shit every day. And my daughter now is like, take that fucking Yogi shirt off. I'm tired of it. It's my favorite
like,
shirt.
Nope.
Man. I love those shirts, man.
It's great.
I love them.
They're great. Now, when you're getting ready for a game, mm-hmm. do you think about the outfit walking into a big game? If it's
you definitely think about it.
Okay.
Yeah, but like only if it's on TV.
Yeah.
Like if it's not on TV, I mean, who knows what I'm wearing. I don't care at all. And if it's on the road and it's like, you know, well, now I'm a little older, so it's, My likelihood of going out to dinner with people on the other team has just through the years decreased because I'm just not friends with them anymore.
Yeah.
Like they're all just like too young. But yeah, it used to be like, oh, I'm going to Minnesota. Oh, so-and-so's in this team. Oh, we're probably going to go out. And then I'd pack accordingly. Or like, we're going to Tulsa. I'm going to the hotel and I'm going to bed. Like there ain't nothing going on in Tulsa. So yeah, 100% you think about what you're wearing.
Because
and like the NBA, WNBA too, like that's like a thing. Like,
right.
What you guys wear is like a part of
yeah, it is.
As much as your uniform as anything. You know
what
I'm saying?
It's becoming wearing more and more, for sure.
For sure.
Exactly.
Yeah, which is like, fun. I like it.
Right. It's like part of the, like, oh, you know, what do they wear coming into the arena?
I wish baseball was like that.
That would be cool, man. That would be cool.
Like getting off the bus, like, you know what I mean? Like, I think about your outfit.
They're starting to show up for football, too, now.
Yeah,
I feel like
you'll
catch it
lot.
Where it's like.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Odell's wearing something.
Cam Newton's wearing.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Cam Newton, for sure.
What do you think of Cam Newton's fashion?
He has
sense?
Good days and bad days. A lot of bad days.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Well put.
A lot of bad days.
I'm going to piggyback on that. Well put. I don't think you can say it any better.
Interesting days for Cam.
Yeah, a lot of interesting days.
Like,
but then
oh
I appreciate the venture, if
right?
you will.
You
I'm
have
like,
to.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, I mean,
I see where you're going there.
There.
I like it. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
like what Russell Westbrook did.
Yeah.
Like, yes.
The why not?
Yeah. yeah. Right. And I mean, feel like he kind of was the. Maybe he's not the first, but he was the first one that I saw on a consistent basis where you're like, whoa, what is he wearing? Or, you know,
oh,
and
for
he's
sure.
the first one of this generation.
Yeah,
yeah,
for
yeah
sure. right.
For sure.
Yeah.
We're like on TNT, it would be like a TNT game and all those guys would be clowning him. And now it's like, they all dress like that. It's the norm. No one's making fun of him anymore. Every now and
like
then
PJ
when he has
Tucker
something.
Coming in,
yeah.
you're looking like Harden. They all dress like Westbrook.
I know. It's like they're all part of the Westbrook fashion tree, even mm-hmm. if they don't want to admit it. And he kind of, I don't know. I like this idea with baseball, though, because we always talk about different ways to make the sport kind of like even more relatable for the fans or show more personality. I think that would be one way to do it.
Yeah,
like,
and they did, and they tried to during the playoffs, but they just, it's not consistent. You
yeah.
know what I'm saying? But if they did it, I mean, guys would start dressing up, you know?
Yeah, right.
But
so
they,
do you,
they
ha-
did
do you
little
have
bit
to dress up? Like on your way to the stadium?
Certain teams you do. Like some teams, when I was younger, a lot of teams you had to wear a collared shirt and like hard bottom shoes. Now it's way less dressy, so you can kind of wear whatever.
Okay. Yeah.
Booney's been good. Girardi's was real cool about, but a lot of teams have a dress code still.
Yeah, okay.
Like so, where you got like suits
where you have
on
to
a
wear
plane
yeah, suits
too,
on the plane,
so
college.
Yeah.
With suits on a plane is fucking stupid to
yeah,
me. Too.
I yeah, I agree.
What's ridiculous about it to me is you are now. I understand like wanting to look professional and whatever, but like when you're on a plane, it's just like so uncomfortable. You want to be in the most comfortable thing possible on a plane.
Which is like a sweatsuit, like a team issue, like yeah. sweatsuit or something like, you know what I'm saying, that we can wear Lululemon, some kind of something nice, man.
I like
being
that.
Being on the plane for 5-6 hours, whatever, you don't want to be in a suit. And, yeah. and when we get off, nobody sees us.
Yeah,
you literally
yeah.
go straight to the hotel, take that suit off, and then it's like, for what, you know?
I know, that's true.
That's how I was in college.
For my teammates.
We had to dress up. We chartered in college. We had to dress up. We were like, we don't get it.
Oh,
like,
no
what is going on? And in the WNBA, so they have a rule that we have a dress code. It's not like super enforced, but it's there. You're not supposed to wear, you know, jeans with holes in them, that kind of thing.
Sue definitely breaks that yeah. all the time.
I think we all do. Well, I think they're starting to understand kind of what we're talking about. Like, yeah. Russell Westbrook, like, why have a dress code when somebody looks good in what they're wearing, even if it's wild?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So anyways, but you can also wear the team sweatsuit. So we can travel in that, which is nice. But I got to say, the other day I was in the airport and I saw the Sounders, the MLS team in Seattle.
Yeah.
And they weren't in suits, but they were in like their own clothes and they all were dressed nice. I was like, it does look better like,
yeah.
in the airport.
It looks
you know,
better
like
if, they're all like,
just, like
in
their own
thing.
Stylish.
Oh, no,
in
their own
clothes.
Versus okay. like we look like we're like schleppy in our sweats. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I kind of get like the professional thing in the airport, but when it's a charter, I don't understand at all.
Yeah. yeah. Like, right. Because nobody, that's true. Like if you're in the airport, you're being exposed to a bunch of different people, whatever. If you're in a charter, literally no one sees
nobody
you.
No,
sees
literally.
You.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like it makes no, especially for us, it makes no sense.
Yeah.
Man. I've been so against the suits on the plane for so long. Yeah. I've been rebelling against that for forever.
Who gave you the biggest pushback on that? Who would you have to
suits talk? On the plane?
Yeah.
Jeep.
Oh, really?
Oh, as soon as he left, then I could wear whatever the fuck I want on the plane. It was unbelievable. He would always
that's
be
so
buttoned
funny.
Up everything, like, no matter what. We play a 8 o'clock game in Boston. Game's over at midnight. Jeet's in a suit. You better be in a suit.
Wow, really? Did yeah. you ever talk to him about it and be like, hey, man.
And say what?
I don't know. It is yeah, exactly. He is Derek,
you know,
Jeter.
So,
yeah.
So
yeah.
A couple things I can talk to him about. Some things I know. You know what I mean? Like, and that was one of them.
Oh, that is hilarious. That is it's nice we have that card. So I was talking about Sue being broadcast aware because. So Sue does. First of all, are you doing any color commentating this year?
No, probably not. I might pop up. We'll see. But
okay.
It's not.
Yeah.
yeah. I have something else on the schedule now. It's making it hard to squeeze broadcasting in. So.
Oh, yeah? Wait, yeah. Is that something you're allowed to talk
yeah,
about?
Yeah.
yeah. What's else on the schedule?
I'm probably going to be working a little bit with the Denver Nuggets. So that's going to be cool. Yeah. So it's just going to
awesome.
Take up enough time where, because as you know,
yeah.
I mean, as we all know, really, commentate, it's like, that's a, from a travel standpoint, that is no joke.
No.
I mean, somebody actually said this to me about it. They were like, you know, when you're a commentator, you never have a home game. And I was like, oh my God, that's a good point.
You never
like,
do.
Yeah, like as an athlete, there might be a stretch where you're home for a week and a half, whatever it is. You're never, like Ryan, you are never, you never have a home game.
Yeah, right.
So you're just like constantly out.
But he gets lucky because he does the Nets
game. Yeah, exactly.
But if not, though, just ESPN. That's why I was saying you never is never a home game.
Yeah, exactly. It's true. If I If I was only ESPN, that's why I always say when people say how many NBA games you do, I'm like, it's 50. But it's a full road schedule because only about 10 of my games are in Brooklyn. Right. So then I have like 40 road games between Nets and ESPN.
Yeah,
that's a full road schedule, you know? Yeah, you're right. It's well, especially, oh my gosh, when you do college, you go to these towns like, holy crap. Like, I mean, it's so – people always ask me like, oh, do you want to add some college into the mix? I'm like – hell no. Not unless it's like, if that's your gig, great, cool, whatever. But like, if it's like, you want to add in some college? No. It's like saying like, hey, do you want to take a casual flight
to
Des Moines?
Do you
want
to go to Waco? Yeah, exactly. I'm good. I'll stay in Dallas.
No, exactly. Yeah, 100%. Yeah. So what can you tell us about this Denver Nuggets stuff?
No, so it's all like super early in the whole process. And it's really just, the best way to describe it is kind of like an apprenticeship where it's like they reached out. I had some mutual friends with the president there, Tim Connolly, and he just kind of likes to keep athletes in the mix and likes to give them exposure and allow them to learn, give them an opportunity while they're still playing. I mean, like music to my ear. So when he explained that to me, I was like, oh yeah, of course. So it's like super loose and just a way for me to kind of see what I like, develop certain things in my arsenal, if you will, for like scouting and that kind of stuff. But yeah, it's obviously a great opportunity. I'm super thankful for it.
That's awesome, man.
That's cool.
That's
and
so dope.
It's a great year for them,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I know.
They are off to...
Now I'm like number one fan. I'm like checking everything, watching every game. Like they are off to a great start.
That's one of the cool things too about like when you're working in sports, it may in some ways, like depending on what sport you're in, it could alter your fandom, right? But it also like, if it enhances it, right? You become like, all of a sudden you're going to be the biggest Denver Nugget fan of all time.
For sure.
Like for me, that's how I feel with like the Nets. Like
the Nets,
I grew up liking the Nets, but I wasn't like a diehard Net fan growing up, but now I have an investment in
it. Yeah, like
you
you're
know?
Part of it.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it happens immediately.
Yeah.
It was like, bink, right. Nugget fan. Right away.
That's so cool.
How much longer are you going to play?
I don't know. It's like right now I'm really just, I'm on the timeline of my health. So as long as that's still going, I'm going to still go. If I could squeeze out a couple more years, that would be great. I'm pretty sure it's like the exact same answer I probably gave to you guys like
last
a year ago.
Yeah.
But that's kind of like
that.
Now you
would, though, that now, too.
Yeah, like, that's true. That, it does change things. Yeah. No, it does. Like, I mean, I'm not going to lie. It's, you know, when you win, you're kind of like, okay, that kind of.
What am I doing?
Yeah.
Like, do I want to work out? Do I want to not eat dairy?
I know, exactly.
Do I want to not eat sugar? Yeah.
Exactly.
I know.
It's the day-to-day stuff where you're like, wait a minute.
Well, you guys are the same age. Mm-hmm. You know, you're both 38. You both won championships. I was thinking, like, see, if you guys would have won this year, do you think you still would have been looking to play in 2019?
That's why I said it would have been hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard to, like, find the motivation. I mean, it sounds weird, but it's hard to find the motivation after you win.
Yeah.
Like.
Totally.
Because that's what you play for so long, and then, like, to have it and get it, and you're like, man, like, dang, I can just chill.
And it's a good way to go out.
Yeah,
it's
right.
It's a great way to go
it's
out.
It's like, for me, it's reminiscent of my college experience. I won my senior year. And, like, so when I think of college, I'm like, I had a great time.
Yeah.
Like, I have no regret. Finished on a great note. Whereas other people might have like, oh, we got knocked out in the Elite Eight or we got upset in the Final Four. Like, I have a great story. So that would be another great way to end. But I don't know. I still feel like I do have a little in the tank. So I'm just going to see.
No, you have
see
a lot,
you got
in,
a lot
the
in the tank.
Yeah, seriously. Like, you do. It's like somebody, I don't know who it was, but somebody the other day was talking to me about being a fan of yours. And they're like, you know, like, she can't retire. She's still so good. And I was like, I know. Like, you really are. And maybe, I don't know. Like, would you have thought that you'd still be playing at this level at this age a few years ago?
Not a few years ago, no. A lot happened. I kind of changed. I've talked about it a lot. Like, my diet, my workouts, blah, blah, blah. So I turned this corner. Had I not, I mean, in that moment, no way. No way. And I think now that I'm this age, I wonder if you could speak to this too, CeCe. Like, now I'm at this age where, because my body is still okay and it's still going, I'm so much smarter than everybody else right now. Like, yeah. I think I that's part of my game anyway. So that was always my edge. But now it's like even more so. Mm. Where like I see things and I understand things and what's happening. I'm able to express it and explain it to my teammates. So they're kind of, you know, on my level as well. And I think that really gives us an edge. So now it's like the health and the experience are just like clashing big time right now. And I think that's why I'm able to play at this level at this age.
That's just, I mean, this is perfect, you know, explanation for it. Like, I wish I had this at 25.
Yeah, though. I know.
You
right?
know what I'm saying? Like, but it's just the experience of, you know, playing for so long and being able to, like, you know, have a second career, you mm-hmm. know, honestly, and like find something that makes you better at the end. And, you know, for me, it was my cutter, mm. you know what I mean? And being able to find that and like kind of change my whole game.
Yeah, like reinvent almost.
Reinvented myself. Yeah. And now, sure. like, I wish I was like, damn, I'm working smarter. I could have did this at 25. I mean, this would have been great. You know what I'm saying? Totally. I just throwing a cutter at 88, getting guys out. Now I'm up there throwing 97 to 100 hard as I can. Like, you know what I'm saying? So it's just, you know, being older and, you know, explaining that to my teammates, having a chance to talk to Jay, Happ, and Sonny, and, you know, these guys, and just, you know, be able to express and help these guys out too, for sure.
Yeah, it's a different experience, mm-hmm. right? Like it
makes you not want to stop. Yeah. But then you're like, I need to shut it down. You know?
Well,
It's coming.
It's got to be so hard. I mean, it's something obviously all of our listeners are aware of, and it's a conversation piece often with athletes that, like, all of a sudden, you know, when do you stop and losing the limelight or whatever, and how you deal with it. But like, if you really think about it, it is crazy because, you know, from the time you were, I don't know how old, but let's say, when did you first start thinking you could be really good at baseball?
Oh, 11 or 12 years old. Yeah.
Okay. And for you, about the same age, right? Really, yeah. Like, this has been, your universe works around that, right? Like,
100%. Yeah, but I'm ready for it to be done.
You are ready. Yeah. Okay. You know what are I mean? Are you excited
like,
about, like?
I'm excited about not being nervous about pitching against Tampa. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah. No, like, I hear you.
Like, that night before, I'm ready for that to be done.
Yeah.
Like, where, like, everything revolves.
Yeah, around that competition, or I can't, like, do something with my family because I need to pitch. Or, you know, like, like, the pitching is getting in the way now of my life, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
Yeah,
that
does. Totally.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm at the end of it. Like, I'm ready for it to be done.
That's it.
I don't feel like I'm going to be craving anything.
Yeah.
Like, maybe just my guys, like, hanging out with the guys, and I want to be around to do that, and, like, you know, maybe a special assistant job will kind of fill that role.
But, yeah.
As far as like the competition of it, I'm ready to be done, man.
Wow, that's interesting. Yeah. So I also think this, like Sue, do you want to, when you go into your final season, mm-hmm. do you want to know this is going to be my final year so that you can just empty the tank one last time?
Okay, big difference. Do I want to know or do I want other people to know?
Do you
want
to know?
Do I want to know? I think I will know.
Okay,
yeah, you'll know.
But I won't think about it. I know. Like, I feel like I'm going to be able. I don't want anybody else to know. Yeah. I don't want to have to. I saw. So Tina Thompson was on my team, in her retirement year, and she told before the season, and it was just every arena we went to a thank you message.
Yeah, but
I know.
But selfishly, like as a fan, you kind of owe that to the fans.
Oh man,
especially you.
That's a lot.
Like you owe it to like somebody in Minnesota to be like, hey, this is my last time coming.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like I told, like me and Derek had this conversation because it was a same thing, and I got mad at him because he wasn't going to do it. And I was like, yo, you can't do that to the guy in Chicago that's been following you for the last 20 years that want to see you play the last time.
Wow. It's a good point.
You need to let these
people
know.
You had that conversation with Derek.
I had a conversation with Derek. Yeah.
Wow.
I actually had a similar one with Ray Allen. We happened to run into each other, and he at that point, I can't remember what year it was. I don't think he ever played. Whenever that conversation happened, I don't think he played again, but it was still like, oh, Ray might sign midseason.
Yeah,
but then he never did. And then maybe like a year even so after that, he finally announced. And he was kind of in the same place that I was where it's like, yeah, I don't want to have like the farewell tour, blah, blah, blah. But like I said, I saw a teammate do it. I know her reason. So it's like I see both sides. I just think I sway towards
wanting to see.
Side.
I get it. This is interesting to me because what you just said about like owing it to the fans, right? If there is something to it, and it's weird to think about it in those terms from yourself,
it's
right?
It's weird to think about it because you never do as the player,
right?
But me as a fan, I can see that.
Yes,
right. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So like Derek needed to have like the rocking chair, or you know, like Mo got the rocking chair from Minnesota.
For all
like,
the broken backs.
That has to
happen,
man.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, you know, so, like you kind of owe it to the game.
If that makes sense.
What about? I can pull a WNBA player, the Becky Hammon, where she played half the season and then I think it was like All-Star break and then announced. Like, all right, this is actually my last season.
Yeah.
But for her it was interesting because I don't know that she knew it going in. It was actually genuine. I think the whole Spurs thing kind of came about. Mm-hmm. She was kind of tinkering with even going overseas again, but then the Spurs thing happened, so it was like okay, I'm going to do that. This is it. I'm done.
Yeah.
So it really was like, that's when she
knew. It wasn't like she knew and was hiding.
No, yeah.
Yeah. That, I mean, that's a way to do
that's
it. A way
too. To do. That's what Tex did. Tex did that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Where he, right. But in like
he,
August,
he went
he
in
said
the same way. He didn't know.
He didn't know.
He wanted to play a couple more years and then got into the season and was like, hey, this is probably
I could actually
it.
See that too. Yeah. I could see going into a season being like, okay, like whatever, let's see what happens. And then halfway, you're like, no, this is probably it. I
you know
totally
what? If
that.
I didn't announce, like, if I didn't, the next year is going to be my last year. I already said that. But if I didn't do that and I went, like, I played next year and then I got into the next year and it's like June and I'm like, fuck this. I would just leave.
Really?
I would just bounce. Like, I would just leave all my shit, cross that bridge and out like the GW and never go back.
That's so, it. He's so out, folks. He's
like
out.
An end date, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, because if not, it'll be June to be hot. And I'm like, fuck this.
I'm out. That's hilarious.
That's really funny.
You're like looking at the ERA. You're like, nah, I'm good. I'm good.
I'm good. You'll call me back in October, but for the rest of this year, I'm done.
That is hilarious.
I think people would be like, so I can totally relate to that. And I think people would be surprised that athletes think that stuff.
Yeah.
But it's true. Like this year, even in our playoff run, like I knew we had a chance to win, which probably added a little more pressure. But even there, like Megan would be like, you excited for your game today? And I'd be like, I don't know. Like there's just so much right now. Like, I don't know. Excitement's like one part of it, but it's also like to your point, like I'm thinking about the night before, I'm stressed on this and that. So it's like halfway through a year, I could tell you, but yeah, I'm over this.
I'm
enough.
Over it.
I can't. I've had enough.
There's this like juxtaposition, right? Because you are never going to get the high again in your life that you get from performing in front of big crowds at the level that both of you do. You're elite athletes who've won championships on the biggest stages. There are a million things in your life that are going to give you fulfillment and satisfaction. There's nothing that's going to quite duplicate that, right? But at the same time, when you're a performer like you are, there is like an added level of stress and anxiety that goes into every single one of those performances.
Yeah, so, yeah, so to get the, you know, the high, it's the stress before.
Exactly.
I'm cool with that.
Give up the high.
Give up the high. If I gotta have the stress, no thanks. You know what I'm saying? So like that high is so high like that. You have to pay a price to get that.
Right.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And I'm not willing to pay that. Yeah.
Like, is it worth it?
Yeah, right. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
So you think, like, in your mind, knowing that 2019 is your last year, will it do something for you to let you, like, empty the tank even more, you think?
I think so. I mean, I've never been one to, like, hold back anyway.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, we'll see how it goes. But, I mean, I'll just be able to take everything in. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And my family will be able to come and, you know, to these last cities that they want to come to. My boys, my friends that have been watching me the last 19 years. If you want to come, we play in Wrigley Field. You want to come watch me, you know?
Yeah.
Just stuff like that. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to that.
That's cool. And to CeCe's point about you, I think he's right. Like, as much as you don't want to think about yourself in these terms, I know, you're a luminary in the game. You are. You're the greatest point guard in the history of women's basketball. You can't really just leave
just
without
bounce,
anyone knowing. Because there are a lot of fans who will want the chance to see you one last time to say goodbye, you know? Because because in their minds, it's just going to create more urgency to see you, and they might, like, regret it if all of a sudden you were tired and they're like, oh, I could have gone to that game in Indiana, but I thought I had another year, you know? Like, and maybe you're at the point where fans wouldn't take that chance because there's no guarantee, but even though it's uncomfortable and it does add a layer.
Yeah.
It adds a whole other layer to the season,
so the layer is what I don't want.
Yeah.
I mean,
I get it.
I saw Derek go through it. That was tough. And Mo, too. I mean,
did it. No. Yeah. So I guess it's worth it.
I'm not on those guys' level. Like, it won't be none of that. I just want to do it because I will quit in the middle of the season.
Like, you need to know. No, this is the end.
That's funny.
This is it. So let's I want to go back to a moment you had this year in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. It was super cool for me because I get to call the WNBA playoffs, and Sue was fantastic, and she's a good friend and just balled out throughout the playoffs. But there was like this moment that will go down in basketball history in Game 5 of the WNBA semifinals in an amazing series between you and Phoenix and Diana Taurasi, probably the greatest player of all time, who's
absolutely
one of your best friends on the planet. And it's funny, throughout my NBA travel so far this season, I've had so many people come up to me and mention that series.
Both.
Because they were just like, it was such an epic, incredible basketball. These were two ridiculously high-level teams. And in Game 5, you guys, You're playing with a mask after breaking your nose in game four. You guys are
a lot of drama.
Yeah, a lot of drama. I got to set the stage. Right, yeah. Sue's team is up by, I don't know, 14 or something in game four when you break your nose. You're up by a lot.
Yeah.
Looks like you're going to go on to the championship. You had control of the game. Yeah. Sue breaks her nose. They end up losing game four because they couldn't get the bleeding to stop.
Yeah.
So she couldn't go back in. So then game five, play with the mask. You guys are down in the... going into the fourth quarter.
You're down in the
fourth quarter. And then you explode in the fourth quarter. You hit, at one point, four straight threes, I believe it was. You scored 16 points in the fourth quarter. Mm. Is that right?
Well, how many?
Or 14 points in the
14.
Fourth quarter?
Yeah,
14 in the fourth quarter.
I'm acting like I don't know. It's 14. It's 14.
That's right. It, you know,
it's 4-3
you,
to 2.
You may have them on a custom shoe somewhere. But like, it, and that arena in Seattle was just on fire during this. So they go from down to up to winning, and you just, you light it up, and you do this in like the span of like 3 or 4 minutes where you score these 14 points and just, you guys go from down to boom, you're advancing.
Yeah.
What's going through your body as you're in one of those hot streaks and the arena is exploding after every one of your shots?
Yeah. So honestly, I've been lucky. I've hit like some big shots in my career, right? And this was unlike any of that because I don't even know in the moment that I knew what was happening. It was like it was like out of body. Like the other times I've hit shots, it's like, all right, we're down one with 5 seconds. Like you got to make the, and then you hit and you know, and you're excited. This was like, because it was over a stretch of time, it was kind of like, I didn't really understand. I swear. It's like, it took me looking back. Like obviously they played a highlight, you know, video during our pep rally thing after the parade. And it was like, oh, we were down three? Like, oh, that was tied? Oh, looking back, like I had no idea. I didn't even remember like score, time, anything. It was just kind of happening. And I think what tells the story is if you watch after the last three I hit was like under a minute. I don't remember the score, like I said. But we had, it was like a 7, maybe 8, 9 point game. Like we had it. But it's still, I don't know, if you watch game two, we thought we had it then too, and then D hits over three to send it into overtime. I was going to kill myself. So you never felt safe. But I finally hit that three, and in that moment, I knew we had it. And I kind of, they called timeout. I walk out of it, and I just like, I'm like, and in that, again, like, I was just unconscious for like a couple minutes. And then I finally was like, oh, that just fucking happened. And then obviously the game ends. Everybody's excited. You're getting interviewed, and you're like, oh my God, I just did that. But in the moment, I really had no, it was just happening, and I had no idea. And I got pissed off on that one play. So that set me off in a whole other direction. I was pissed looking back at the thing, like probably
you
for
had
no
a
reason,
CC moment on the court.
I literally went berserk, and looking back I was like, fuck, that wasn't even that bad. It felt so much worse. I was like, I look like a fucking idiot. Moving on. So I don't know, it's a great memory because I was totally like hand in front, like blacked out. It just was happening.
It was amazing. And that place, that arena,
yeah,
was,
I mean,
going,
it gets like
nuts.
That,
like in Seattle, those fans are, and what you're talking about, I remember seeing it, and I may have even called it as such. Like, you took this, like, that breath you're talking about, and it looked like just pure relief. Like,
it
looked like,
it,
or like letting go of the
it
moment,
was part of
right?
It, yeah.
It wasn't even exhilaration
no,
or anything. It was
it
like,
wasn't.
A,
yeah,
like
it was
that.
Part relief.
Yeah, it was interesting because
it's like going in,
stressed,
like
a stressful series.
Yes,
yeah.
It was so stressful. We should have won in game four.
Yeah,
it was like, you know, it's like, fuck, we have to go to game five against a player that the whole storyline for her, the last like 3 years in the playoffs for Diana Taurasi, is she never loses winner take all games. Oh, she's undefeated. Oh, she never loses these games. Her whole career, she's never lost.
She had never lost a winner.
She had
never lost.
She had never lost one. She'd
on the road, whatever, like
she had lost never. Elimination games, right? If they're like down in the series 2-0, but anytime there was
a
winner
take
all, all game,
never,
she was
13-0,
I believe, going into that game.
And I think it even goes back to college.
Yeah.
I'm like, not.
Oh, yeah. We figured it out going back to college. It was like end Olympics or something. She had won like something along the lines of like 50 straight winner take all games.
Yeah.
Insane.
It's insane.
Insane. Like,
so yeah,
yeah,
stress.
So that's what they were
stress
up against.
Stress is one,
yeah,
stress
right?
is one word.
Exactly.
And then it's just like, this is my motherfucking friend. This is like, not that we actually don't talk a lot of shit to each other, so it's not like that, but I feel like, but like subliminally we are.
Oh, yeah.
Like when we look at each other,
oh,
it's
yeah,
like,
you know. Yeah, you know.
Look at
for
each other
sure.
like, yeah, that yeah. happened. You know? So there's a little bit of that. So yeah, there was just a lot riding on it. And I think more so the relief was, like you said, we had game four. And this was a tough series. Like, I always say this, total respect for the Washington Mystics who we played in the finals. This was the finals.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The series against Phoenix was the finals. And it was tough. and we blew it, but we had it in game four, and then things just turned.
Was it tough to get up for Washington though after like such a tough series?
No, because it was the finals.
Yeah.
Because we've seen that happen in 2003 when the Yankees beat the Red Sox in the ALCS in Game 7, and then they go play the Marlins in the World Series, and it was like it took a little bit to get into the series, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that can happen where you –
that's what I'm saying. Like, when you play such a rival and then you got, you know, kind of let down in the finals.
I think what happened, and I know this happened because that morning of Game 1 for shoot-around, all of us kind of looked at each other. We're like, we don't have to guard Diana or Brittany Griner or DeJuana Bonner. Like, this is going to be great. Like, we were all, like, psyched. Like, it was like we knew we slayed the dragon.
Yeah.
And it was just like, all right, now we just need to, like, stay. Like, we need to do this. Like, just focus on this. Don't lose it. And game one, we, like, smashed them.
Yeah.
We came right out the gate. And then that just kind of set the tone.
Yeah.
You kind of knew then. There is, like, a part of you, too, when you have those epic moments where – I feel like you want to finish the deal then so they can go back, right? Because if you lose the finals, all of a sudden that game five, against Phoenix, exactly.
And I think for me personally, like at some point in this season, it was late in the season, but at some point I was like, I never thought I would be on a championship team again. That is like real talk. We went through a rebuild. I really never thought it. I'm not just blowing smoke. I'm 38. Here I am, 37 at the time, but here I am. And now I'm like late in the season. I'm like, we could actually do this. And so now I'm becoming even more psycho than I usually am because I'm like, guys, we could actually do this. We can't move. Because who knows what happens next year?
Yeah.
Who knows what's – like, you never know what's going to happen the next year. So it's, like, so cliche and whatnot, but it was, like, seize the fucking moment. And, like, we had to. So there was no, like, derailing us from that.
I think that's, like, when you get older, like, you understand that these opportunities are limited, especially when you know you have a good team.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? That's why I'm trying to hang on with this Yankee team.
Yeah, exactly.
We're going to win the World Series. This team's going to win the World Series, and I want to be around for it.
It's true.
I get that, man. Because you just – there are a million things that have to happen, right? Like, they really are. So when you're in that moment, you're like, we got to do this.
This could happen. Yeah. Like, right. Yeah, like,
we had a lot of luck. Like, I hate to say luck. We stayed healthy.
Yeah.
So that was lucky for us. And other teams had, like, very bad injuries, which was extremely unlucky for them, but I guess sort of added to our luck with the season.
Yeah.
And to your point, like, other championships I won, I wasn't in the moment. I wasn't like, I was just like doing it.
Yeah.
I was young. I didn't, I was like, whatever.
Like, oh, we're going to do this shit again.
Yeah, we're going to do it. Who cares?
Like, yeah.
Now I'm older. I'm like living in the moment. I'm like actually like, no, we need to do this now. That's exactly
that
how
was
I felt.
17 for me. Like when we got past the wild card, I was like, all right, okay. You know, then we beat the Indians in five. I'm like, fuck. Like, we're right here. Then we get to game seven of the ALCS. Like it's right there. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, it's a different emotion. Like, you start feeling it, you know? Like,
totally.
It's a feeling more so than it is, like, anything else.
I love that phrase you used. You start chasing a feeling.
Yeah,
like,
man.
And
it's a feeling. It's like a high that you're riding on. Everybody's feeling good.
Oh.
You're traveling. Like, that finals, that championship run is a fun run.
Oh, man. Yeah. Well, you're going to have another one in 2019 with this team. From the second – I'm just going to throw out a little Ryan prediction here. From the second 17 ended, for whatever reason, I always thought – you guys would not win in 18, but would win in 19. I don't know why, but I just felt that way. Like, it was just like from the second 17 ended, I was like, I don't see 18 going as well. I see 19 as the year. So that's the year I'm
going.
Yeah, there you go. So get
Set
ready.
Here first.
Get ready to enjoy it. So who is there a point guard who you feel like you like modeled your game after?
Not like I watched them as influence. Yeah. Not really. Not like I watched and then I like went out in my backyard and did the same moves. But I think Mike Bibby and I are like kindred somehow.
Wow, that's a great.
It's like the same game, the bow legs. We both were number 10, like scoring point guard. I was actually a huge fan. So I was a huge fan of him when he was at Arizona. Obviously, that's when he first came on the scene. So I was a huge fan. Became friendly with him like years later, which was amazing for me. It's not like I modeled. It's just now that I look at it, and I thought it then even. I was like, oh, we played the same. Cool. So like following him in his career, like all those great years in Sacramento, he hit that huge shot against the Lakers, right, in that playoff.
Against the Lakers.
Yep. So just that's kind of, I see that as
your
like
guy.
We're just super similar, yeah.
Did he reach out after you guys won?
Yeah. He posted something.
Oh, that's so cool.
It was awesome, yeah, he's great.
What was after that game five?
He's yoked now.
Yeah.
What is going on?
I know.
On?
You are,
that's
seriously.
What I need in my post-career. Like, whatever
I know,
need,
right?
I need to get
oh, my goodness. He is.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
He's got a crazy shoe collection, too. He's, like,
yes,
he's got
he
the
does.
Best Jordans, I think.
Yeah?
He's got the best PEs, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, yeah. Nice. Yeah, you got – now, actually, that's something you both are – crazy with your J's and your whatever, all your kicks.
All the sneakers, yeah.
I know you always have something fresh you're wearing. As soon as you walked in, C was like, oh, I like those. Yeah. What do you have on today? Yeah.
These are like the LeBron did the thing with John Elliott. Like,
oh.
I don't know what they call it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Those
The collaboration.
Yeah, they don't have, there aren't many of those, I don't think. Are there? I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah.
Do you like to hoop in all like the different ones, or are you just like?
So I'm a little weird about what I play in. I will try different stuff, but usually if I have a sneaker that I like, I'm usually going to stick with it. But I will wear like fun colors and.
What are you
and
playing in now?
The Kyries.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So Kyrie's been my favorite.
That's the basketball shoe, right? Like everybody plays in that.
Yeah. Kyrie's been my favorite now for like, since the ones really. And now he just came out with the five. So I now, not so much when I was younger, but now I'll mix it up with the colors. I don't care if it matches. I just want to like have fun with
That's what's dope about the NBA too, is that you can wear whatever shoe you
whatever
want.
Whatever you want.
That's what's cool. Like,
do you guys have stipulations on? Or they just lifted them, right?
51%. But it's you can change the color.
So okay.
Like, okay.
I think our color is navy.
Okay.
You know, I think before it was black. So now you can change whatever. You know, whatever color. I do whatever I want. I take the fine.
Take the fine. Yeah.
You mean you don't, like, break out a ruler to see if 51% of the shoe is a certain color?
I usually take the fine. Oh, my gosh. Add it up. I'll be out there 35 times. I'm going to wear this shoe every time, so add it up. And
that's great. Invoice me. Who, Sue, like, when you, I saw, like, on Twitter and Instagram and everything, the reaction, especially after that game five from people. What was was there a message or two that you either got personally or you saw on social media that were like, damn, that's kind of cool?
I don't even remember. Like, obviously there was a lot of NBA guys, like LeBron wrote, Kobe wrote.
KD.
KD. Yeah. A lot of, like, they were all tuned in. Dwayne Wade. So those were great. But a lot of those guys, like, I've actually met, like, mostly through the Olympics. So you have relationships with. So even though it's random, it's not the starstruck thing, I guess.
Yeah.
But it is nice when you're recognized in that way. I'm trying to think. God, you're catching me off guard. I feel like there is someone, but I can't remember.
Where you're like, whoa, like sick.
Yeah, yeah.
Or I mean, you're like, I can't even imagine what your phone must have been like.
Oh, it was crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Insane.
It was awesome.
And then
crazy.
You did the wise thing and made sure to listen to all the play-by-play calls of all those big shots.
Of course.
Shots, right?
Of course. She's unconscious.
That's right. That's right. I had a, this is Sue Bird's building.
He sent the clip to the group chat.
I did. I sent it around. We, like, that's like, oh, you better believe, like, when we do a pod with LeBron, first thing I'm going to be asking is, like, so what's your favorite buzzer beater call you've ever had from a play-by-play guy? that's
for
like,
sure he's heard him, right?
He definitely has heard him. Whether or not he knows it's me or not, I have no idea, but he's definitely heard. I feel like that's got to be cool, though, to like hear
it
some
is.
Of the calls. Like, forgetting it's me. Like, that's
it's
your
the
highlights, you know?
Yeah,
that's
the moment.
That's something I don't have that. Like, that's a cool thing for,
true.
You know, basketball like players. We don't have.
Right, I'm pitchers. Trying to think, like, yeah, like, is there a, right, because as a pitcher, like, maybe a big strikeout or something like that, like, you know.
Nah.
Yeah.
Most of the time you try not to show emotion, you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean.
Yeah, you just walk
guys,
off.
Yeah, yeah, oh, yeah, I was going to say. Oh, really?
Not me, but.
Oh, really?
No, yeah, and it'll be a part of it.
Right.
Every time they, you know, like,
every time
history.
They play that. Yeah,
every time.
Which is cool.
Which
it's
nice,
cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun. I mean, for me, it's really fun. Like,
yeah,
but, exactly. I love that. I love that stuff, but it was one of those special moments. So I wanted to also ask you this. Okay. For both of you who are, I mean, it's interesting because you guys really are in similar places, you know, in your careers with your accomplishments and you're the same age. How much harder does it become to listen to coaches at like this age compared to like when you're younger? Like, does it become a, I mean, you're both smiling. You're both like,
you are what you are at this point, man. Like,
yep.
I think coaches kind of cater to you, if that makes sense. Like, they won't tell you anything crazy. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like, they won't go out of your way to try to change you or have you change, you know, think differently. So I don't have any problem. You know, I don't like, you know, my coaches, I mean, I get along with them. You know? I don't know. I don't want to say like it's more like peers, but I feel like I can talk to them about anything and
absolutely.
Say anything I want. You know?
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, that does make sense.
Yeah, I agree. I think at this point, it's like I'm probably a coach's dream and like simultaneously a nightmare because I do, I'll just say something. Whereas mm-hmm. when I was younger, I probably would have held it in. But now I'm like, I'm not holding it in. I'm just saying it because it's what I see and I know it's right, you know? So I feel like for the most part, I think that's well received. And you have to judge based on the coach. Like in my life, I have a lot of coaches every year. Like meaning you're with the national team, you went overseas, mm-hmm. this and that. So you're constantly with different people. So you're constantly gauging on how to handle that. But to CeCe's point, I am who I am. So they generally aren't going to come and be like, hey, maybe work on this move. I'm going to be like, listen, if I don't have it by now, like if this, yeah. I don't know if I'm adding anything to the.
Right.
But, so it kind of can go both ways.
But she's right in the fact that I think like the coaches have to like have us on their side.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, definitely.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
if they say something crazy, I'd be like, fuck that.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
You know what I mean? Absolutely. Like, no, like, so I think like it works. You know, in a it's kind of a good thing. We're in a good position.
I think it's a good thing. Yeah.
That's a great point because if you're upset with them, then the rest of the team's gonna kind of probably follow to a certain degree, right? Because you're the respected
you have a
voice.
Little bit of influence. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And if something's going on, you'd be like, nah, that's not right. You know what I'm saying? So you are kind of the voice of the team.
It's a cool place to be.
And I think the players look at us differently from the coach and would like to your points follow us. More readily, like they would be more willing. I think mm-hmm. if I said no, we should do it this way. I think they'd listen to me more.
Or if you want to like grab the clipboard and draw up a play at the end of Game 4, like you could do it.
Like,
you
look
could
do that. Look at Rondo on the Lakers.
Yeah.
You know
oh, he did.
And
so
it's
yeah,
not like a bad thing. It's no. just like what he sees. Like yeah, he's a
that's
veteran,
the thing. Like people,
like,
so I did that in Game 4. And
it was amazing television, by the way. So they're down two in at the end of Game 4.
The one where I broke my nose.
And Sue can't play at that moment.
Yeah,
and she. She actually drew up the final play in the huddle.
And it didn't work.
Yeah. Well,
and I was pissed.
Yeah. Sue like kicked a chair.
I was livid.
In fairness to Sue, it only didn't work because it was not properly executed.
Still, yeah. I probably could have communicated better. Okay. Anyway. But a lot of people, I had some funny reactions to that. And then I had some like, oh, like that's disrespectful. And I was like, no, if you were there, you know, there was nothing disrespectful about it. Yeah. It was just like, this is what it is. To Rondo's point, like to the point you're making about Rondo, it's like he has a different feel. He's in the game. I had just been in the game. I know my teammates. I know what they're comfortable with. I know how to communicate it. I thought I did. and that's why that happened. It was not, there was like zero disrespect in that moment.
And I think coaches understand that. Like she's an extension of the coach. Like we're running what you want us to run.
Right.
But I can see it a little better because I'm on the floor.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And I think the great coaches can feel like buoyed by that. Like, guess what? Like, my ego is not so big that I have to, be all me. Like, if I have this great asset at my disposal, why wouldn't I use it? Why wouldn't I want them to voice it?
And it's always better when the players can coach and police themselves anyway.
Yeah.
It's always a better environment, you know? The clubhouse, the locker room is always better when you have a player that's in charge.
So you also have a leadership position within the WNBA. And it feels like, I mean, I've been doing games the last 6 years for the league with the playoffs and championship and everything. And finals. And it did feel like this year to me, there was more appreciation for the game than ever before. Mm-hmm. And more positive attention. It kind of felt like an inflection point to me where it's like, all right, you know, like viewership was way up, you know, attendance is up, whatever, merchandise is way up. And obviously then the conversation increased as well. Mm-hmm. But so right now you guys opt out of your CBA and that doesn't come into effect till after this season.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of different messaging that goes on where you have some people, it's like, well, why are we getting paid this? Look at the NBA players. And anyone in the know knows that's like silly to compare those businesses because they bring in totally different stratospheres of revenue, right? Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter how big a supporter you are of women's basketball. That is the reality of the business model as it stands, right?
Yes.
It's a different planet. But there are things that, you know, could rightfully go the way of the players in your game. How do you guys, like, make sure the messaging is what you want it to be so that people actually do listen and they don't get turned off by you don't understand the business if you think you should have NBA money?
So that's the hard part, right? So it's a combination of, you know, you have a lot of players in this league, and how do you get 144-plus players on the same page all the time, you know? Because all it takes, as we've learned this summer, is one tweet. You know, one tweet of bad information or one tweet that makes us look like we're walking into Adam Silver's office and asking for charter planes.
Yeah.
Like, that's not happening.
Yeah.
Like, just dead that right now. Like,
yeah.
That's not the situation. We live in reality, too. You know, like, and it's never. So I think when people hear us say things like, you know, we should be getting paid the same as the men, it's not about the actual number. It's more so, and so, and then like you said, people hop on that, they make it a headline, they blow it up, they make us look ridiculous, like we're idiots. I think what we're trying to say collectively is, we want the same investment, and it's not always a monetary thing, right? Like, we want the same time put into our marketing campaigns. Mm-hmm. Like, I think our marketing campaigns have been bad. Yeah. I really do. I don't think they're capturing us. I think they're turning people off. I could talk about this forever. So we just want, you know, a marketing department maybe dedicated just to us.
Right.
You know, just different ways in which you invest. It doesn't always have to be money. Of course, sometimes we're talking about money, but just different ways in which people can be invested in, the same way men are invested in. Yeah. Does that make sense?
That does.
Okay.
That's basic.
That's kind of like, I think, the heart of where we are. And then, of course, there's things that specifically that we need to ask for that hopefully we can figure out.
But you can't grow the game without their help, without, you know, helping of the marketing and
oh, absolutely.
You know,
yeah. NBA, yeah. I mean, listen, they're our big brother for, like, without them, we would not be here.
And they do a great job of marketing the NBA.
Yeah, they do.
I mean, they do a great job of it. So, they have the right people.
Right. And I think at times they've tried to just be like, oh, this worked with the NBA. Let's just do it with WNBA. But it's not the same. Mm-hmm. It's not the same anything, right? But like you said, Ryan, like our product, as we all are starting to call it now, like what's happening on the floor is at its best. I mean, but the playoffs the last couple years have been epic.
Yep.
Like you can see it. The play is getting better and better. The players are better and better. The teams are better and better. And in all reality, it's 12 spots on 12 teams. That's like survival of the fittest at its best or worst, however you want to look at it, if you're like that 13th player. But it's like this league is continuing to grow from a basketball standpoint. So if you have that, you know, I feel like we can build on that, which is good. We just got to get all the other things like headed in the right direction.
Yeah. It's so true too. Like it's no different than if you were starting like a company, right? And you go, let's say like, so one company I'm involved with, you know, is like Sound Sparkling Tea, which, by the way, is the greatest tea of all time. But it's unbelievable. It's organic and lovely. Yeah. It's gonna be on the table sometime soon. It is amazing. But like, if in the beginning of Sound, right? Like, you know, as an investor, right? If you're like at the first month and you're like, why aren't revenues this? Like, I can't invest in this product.
Oh, yeah.
No, that's not what you're doing. Like, you need to make the investment to grow the product and eventually turn it into a moneymaker, right? Like, it doesn't just happen.
No.
You're not going to immediately see that kind of revenue that you want. There has to be some sort of investment that's based on, you know, faith in the product rather than the numerical results you've seen from the product.
Right.
And you know what's crazy is, like, watching that basketball story on ESPN,
the
NBA didn't really have it right either. It was just the players.
Yeah.
The players created the league. So if the play gets better, then you know what I'm saying? Like, the NBA had no idea what the fuck they wanted to do, especially, like, with the merger with the ABA. Like, they had no clue. Mm-hmm. And it was just the players kind of took off, like Magic and Bird.
Yeah.
Did you see the thing Katie Nolan did on WNBA versus NBA?
That's great.
She did something. It's really interesting. I'll send you the link. Because it's along those lines, talking about how, like, you know, we see the NBA as what it is now. Like, you forget the way it was struggling financially, from a business model for its first two decades, you know, or more. And it's no different kind of than, you know, it could parallel to where you guys are as far as a business goes, you know?
So the NBA, like I said, big time gift for us, right? Like they're the reason why we're still in existence, 100%, why we exist at all, and then why we're still here. The curse part of it is the comparison. It's a constant curse because we're constantly getting compared. You can't do what the men do. You don't get, well, why would you get that money? You don't have the revenue the men do. And it's like, what you're saying about Sound Sparkling Tea, the greatest tea in the world, is give it a chance. Like, you can't expect that day one.
Yeah.
But I think people look at us and they're like, oh, it's not making money. See you later, bye. And it's like, wait a minute. In what world does this happen overnight? I mean, and people always like to point this out from our standpoint, which is, look at the NBA and what we're saying. Look at the NFL. Look at all these leagues in year 22.
Yes.
Compare us to that, because we're actually doing pretty well.
Yes, exactly. 100%.
But unfortunately, the world now is we view professional sports in one way, which has been earned. It's just we're still on our way. So
exactly. Well, it sounds like you guys have the right mentality, though, to go into it. And the good news is Sound now is doing great as well. So, you know, you make that investment and it just takes a little time. And then you can see if it's a good product, you know. And I do believe, like, this game, it's in such a good place. Like, I hope that you know, look, what you said is right. Like, having the right dedicated people. Rebecca Lobo, my partner, always talks about this. She has great specific ideas mm-hmm. based on knowing who the clientele is for things that can grow this sport that are more in tune with, like, a view of who the actual fans are, right? Like, so when you're talking about the marketing, like, it's not a one-size-fits-all thing. It's like, no, this is, like, specific, you know, to our actual product. So hopefully they do hire the right people for that. I'm wondering, do you get nervous when you – no, Sue has alluded to, and we talked about Megan Rapinoe, your girlfriend, who's mm-hmm. a ridiculous athlete herself, an all-time great soccer player for the U.S. women's team. Do you get nervous when you watch her play?
Not really.
Because they just kill everybody? Or
I will say they don't lose. Yeah, yeah.
Not really, because she's never nervous.
No? She doesn't get this performance anxiety?
No.
That, yeah.
She's, like, excited about it all the time. I'm like, we are so different.
Yeah, I hate those
she's
people.
I know. Low-key, I'm like, shut up. But, like, she's excited all the time. Can't wait to play all the time. I have a game this week. Oh, my God, I can't wait. I'm like, oh, my God, I have a game. I have two games this week. I'm like, this is going to be so stressful. Yeah, the only time I've ever felt any kind of nerve was when she was doing it was, like, early in our relationship. I went to a game, and she was shooting a PK, a penalty kick. And I was like, oh, because if you miss that, you're kind of like, oh.
Yeah.
You kind of suck.
You kind of would have to break up.
And then I started
to
realize it's kind of the equivalent of my free throw. Like, I do free throws all the time.
Nah. It ain't like that,
no,
though.
No, it's not. Okay, the actual thing is not like that. But I guess what I'm trying to say is, like, the confidence that I have in my free throw, she has in her penalty. Yeah. She's, like, very confident with it. And, like, so I was nervous because, like, if I had to go kick one of those, who the hell knows what the heck, you know?
Yeah.
So that's the nerve I felt was, like, more if I was doing it. You know what I'm saying?
Do they have a World Cup coming up this year?
Yeah, this summer.
This summer, right?
Yeah.
I know. I love watching their team. Yeah, in France. Yeah. I know. I might try and go.
That's like,
going to be sick. CeCe just went to a couple soccer games.
I was at Manchester United. And then PSG. PSG was crazy.
It was
insane. I was underdressed. I've never been underdressed for a sporting event. But I definitely need to have on
Well,
my,
based on the beginning of this conversation, I'm not surprised.
For soccer, though, I mean, you got to step it up.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Did you have a scarf, though?
I did buy a scarf.
Then you're good.
I was good.
As long as you have a scarf, you're all set.
I did buy a scarf.
Have you gone to games overseas?
Not in Europe, no.
Oh, you got to do it.
No, it was too cold. In Russia, because they have a team out there. I was like, I'm good.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Really, really cold.
No, that's that's.
It was fun though.
Yeah, I've heard it's amazing.
If they're playing for, let's say they're playing for the World Cup title,
which
they will be
in December.
Will you be nervous that game for
Megan? I'd be nervous. Yeah, but not in like not the way I felt when I was watching her shoot the penalty shot. Yeah,
okay.
That was like actual nerves. Will be more like I want her to do well. I want her to win. I know she wants it.
Yeah.
So you like want that for somebody. But I don't think I'll be nervous.
And then the other question is, will you ask the Seattle Storm if they'll let you out of the game so you can go? Yeah.
I mean, I'm waiting for that schedule to come out.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Sure.
I feel like you could get to a certain point, right, in your career, like, look, you can have me.
Look, I need
but,
a couple weeks.
Yeah,
I need a couple weeks.
You need the LeBron vacation down to Miami.
I'll be back at the end, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just call me up when it's at the end.
Hey, it's worked for some athletes do it, you know? I mean,
Roger
like,
Clemens did that shit forever.
Yeah, right, exactly. It's true. You can get that deal. You also, since we last were with you, Sue, you have been on the cover of the ESPN The Body Issue with Megan.
Mm-hmm.
And have you gotten used to signing naked pictures of yourself yet?
Yeah, I sign right on my butt because I'm like, let me cover this thing. Get this out of here. People were like, oh, was it nerve-wracking to be in front of the camera? I'm like, I'm naked in locker rooms all the time. So it's like, for me personally, I just don't care. And I get it. It's different. Don't get me wrong. Because everyone's like, what? That's so different, though. It's everybody. I'm like, I just don't care. It is what it is. Like, what am I going to?
Set the scene for us. What is it like to do the body? Have you ever done the body issue?
They've been trying to get me to do that thing forever.
Do
really?
It.
No chance.
Do it, see?
Hell no. You we already kind of seen what that would look like. Prince Fielder did it. That's the same shit.
That's terrific.
So you go. You're getting your makeup done. They're doing your hair. At some point, it's like, okay, here's your robe. They provide you with a nice little robe. You put the robe on, so obviously you're naked underneath.
Totally naked.
Totally naked.
You're not like, they don't have you in some kind of thing and okay.
The sock wouldn't work for me anyways. Okay. Totally naked. So at some point you like walk onto the they got the backdrop thing and the whole scenario and the lights and everything's. And there's probably like, and they ask you ahead of time. They're like, so they want to video it for like behind the scenes stuff. Is that okay? Sure. Then they ask like, okay, there's just random people, and they're like, is this okay? And you're like, yeah, sure. So it's probably like anywhere between like 10, 15 people, sometimes 8, sometimes 15, whatever it is. in that room with you. Mm. But they're working. They're like doing the lighting. They're doing this. It's, you know, it's not like they're just staring at you. They're like working. And then again, at some point you walk out there and they're like, okay, it's time. And you're like, okay. And you take your robe off and there you are.
But you had Megan with you though. So yeah, that was Megan a little better. Yeah. Like, you
know, and then, And then like, I don't know, an hour in, they're like, okay, we need to redo this. Do you want your robe? And you're kind of like, whatever. Yeah. You're just like, whatever. Can we just get this over with?
Yeah.
It's like any photo shoot. You're like, okay, let's just do it.
Were you do you look after and it's like, oh, I like these?
Yeah, I think they came out great. There's one picture so we actually were in the woods. That's not like, I don't know if you've seen it, but that's not Photoshopped. We are in the woods and I did not like those ones.
Yeah.
I was like, because even as it was happening, I was like, this is the one. Because you know, there's always that one where you're like, why is she or he doing that with that? Like, I feel like it was like Hope Solo was like watering a lawn. There's just all these, I'm like, and I said to him, I was like, this is the one. They got us out here looking stupid. I don't like it. And it looked like the cover for like, I don't know, the Twilight series. Like, because there was like all this smoke and there was like just us two peering at it. But I was like, this is terrible. It was, that one I did not.
Did that one make the magazine too?
I think so.
Yeah.
I got to check. Yeah.
I think
so.
But yeah. That one, I'm like, oh, Jesus.
I know. It's funny, right? Being like, yeah, yo, I got to check that out.
But
that's when you cut yourself. Yeah. Yo, I got to take a look. But I get it. It's like, yeah.
The other thing that was interesting is like, so here we are, two naked women who are dating, and they're like, oh, too close. You're a little too close. Well, which I get. It's like, it's ESPN. It's not, I don't know. I was going to say Playboy.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So I totally get it. But it was kind of like funny. We're like, we're too close.
Yeah, right.
But you want us to stand next to each other, but we're too close. Like, what do you want us to do here?
Well, what were you guys doing, Sue?
I know. Honestly, nothing. It's the most like unsexual experience of my life. I'm going to be honest. It's like, you're literally like, just get me out of here.
A lot of times, like when I've asked like some of my friends who are actors, and we talked about this with Rappaport at one point on a podcast. And I have Jay Ellis, who's my buddy, and he... on Insecure, he has more sex than anybody. Yeah. Like
this season.
Yeah.
Sure.
Oh my gosh, it's ridiculous. Like, yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. He got the clap in that episode.
Yeah.
You know?
Be warned. Be warned.
This season was disappointing though.
I know, man.
I thought so. The funniest episode was Coachella.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was funny.
At the end.
I cried.
Like, she's like, "Why does it smell like pee?"
That was funny.
That was good.
I know, because they. But like, also, they didn't bring Jay in till episode 5. Yeah, man. Yeah.
Maybe it's just like the setup season. You know how there's always like always either a setup episode or a setup season.
This was season 2 of The Wire.
Yeah, when it goes to the docks.
Yeah, the docks. Right. This was the setup season. It was. Because at the end, I was like, wait a second, that wasn't the finale, was it? Yeah, exactly.
But Coachella, that was the great, that was one of the funnier episodes. That was hilarious. That I've ever seen on TV.
But I remember Jay telling me, like, he describes the whole scene and he's just like, there's nothing sexual about it because like it's just so like programmed and you know it just feels sterile and whatever. But so I guess once you're comfortable in that setting, like you can do it because it just feels like, I don't know, being at the doctor's office or something like that.
Yeah, just like working probably. For him. He's working.
Yeah,
punching the clock.
And how about I guess my last thing on that would be: was there any like interesting reactions from family members?
No. Well. My dad was like, why are you going to do that? I was like, I don't know. Why not? Okay, whatever. You know, no, it wasn't. No, my family's pretty chill.
Like go take naked photos. It's cool.
Yeah, they were chill.
People are going to see him on the cloud someday anyway. Might as well put him on a magazine.
Yeah, and Megan had actually been in it before.
Oh,
you said people could put it on the cloud.
Yeah, exactly. No, you know what?
Yeah,
it's
I
like
know.
You can't even count.
I don't use
that
cloud
stuff on your phone.
That's how
anymore.
You get. That's how you get fucked up. Yeah. I don't use the cloud.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's
no
dangerous,
cloud for me.
Man. It's dangerous.
Yeah,
you got to be careful. That's funny though. I could see like an aunt or like a grandma or something like that just being like, oh really?
Can you sign this for me?
Yeah, that is terrific.
Yeah, no, I was lucky in that way.
All right, Sue. Before we let you go, I have to ask you one thing because C knows from our group chat this weekend. I went on like just a little funny, I thought it was funny, crusade against like against like mood posts. Did you see my Instagram story?
I did.
Did you laugh?
Yes, I laughed.
Okay, good. So it cracks me up though because now these guys are like, yo, how was that acid trip, bro? Like,
you did go on a
went on a red.
A little bit of a,
but my thing is this, like, I'll pull
and
up
then you posted like all the moods.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
that part
exactly.
I was like, oh,
yeah, exactly. I had to follow it up. If you just caught the second part, you're like, I don't get it. Yeah. You know, if you caught the first part, it all is, you know, symmetrical. But like, I don't know, you ever like go on someone's story and they post like, it's these random, and I'm like, this can't be, your mood cannot be a motorcycle turned over on top of a hot dog cart.
You know what's
cart.
Crazy is that I flip so much that I don't even catch that shit anyway.
You don't?
Most of the time I don't. I'm voting for people's dog look ugly and shit like that. Like I have no idea. I'm just like tapping.
Tap, 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 tap.
You don't ever see like, yo, this, what do you mean mood? Like, what is that?
I guess I need to pay attention more to like people's.
Yeah,
people's.
See, start paying, like.
I mean, I know what you mean.
Right?
But then I'm like, I've also seen ones where I'm like, it's like mood. And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
That's my mood right now.
Yeah, but if it's like Monday and it's like a little kid like curled in a fetal position crying
right,
on the floor,
it.
I'm like, I get it, you know? Okay. I don't get it when it's like, you know, Don Corleone in a rainbow suit with a balloon over him. Mood. Like, what?
I think the impressive part about your rant is that you were pulling all these random moods.
And
you were
had
like,
him.
Yeah. It was just like, you were this like rapid fire with the Don Corleone with a balloon. Where does that even come from?
As they like to say, they don't get these orca, jobs to chips.
Orca yeah. breach, like
yeah, yeah, yeah.
You like that one? Yeah, right, exactly. You
I
know?
Mean, that could be a mood.
That could be a mood. That could. Well, you know what's funny? That so yesterday I post all these pictures of like post like a basketball mood, like a Nets logo because I was about to call the Nets game mood. A picture of an orca mood, like a sunset mood, like whatever. And I was obviously just being facetious from my right. previous post, but like. I had all these people message me, and they're like, so I get everyone except for the orca.
Like being dead serious.
Yeah, like what is the mood that's associated with orca? And I'm like, nah, you missed it.
Social media, my friend.
Oh, my gosh, it is. At some point, I will burn all my social media accounts.
I agree.
I'm sure everybody will at some point.
Yeah. Right?
It's coming.
At some point, that's going to tip the other direction.
Yeah.
I don't know when, but it will. Sue, thank you for doing this.
Yeah, thanks
thank you for
having
being
me.
Back with us.
Yes, anytime. Thank you for coming.
We appreciate it. And
I feel
maybe
like I'm in elite company, right? Like, yeah. How many people have come on twice?
Oh, seriously.
Jeff Van Gundy?
Right.
I'll take it.
You are.
I'm right there.
You are in elite company. And you know what? Like, who knows? Maybe this will be a show when you guys retire.
Yeah.
Like, you know? Maybe
you
like CeCe has dreams for like a reincarnation of the Best Damn Sports
Best
Show.
Best Damn Sports Show.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what I want.
See? I went on that one.
That
once.
Show was great.
Yeah, did you really?
Yeah, I was on once.
That show
it's
was
like
so
John
much
Sally.
Fun.
Oh.
Yeah, Sally, Rob Dibble.
Yeah.
Chris Rose.
Chris Rose.
They,
I like
they
Chris.
Had you doing stupid shit. Like one time I was on there throwing baseballs through an aquarium.
They did.
You know what I'm saying? Like just
mood.
Random fun shit. Yeah, mood.
That's awesome. Well, we will look forward to that. And until then, just make sure when you're going to retire, you let R2C2 know first.
Yes, please.
Okay.
So the fans
that'll be my third time on.
That's right. Thanks, Sue. Sue's dope, isn't she?
She's good.
I know.
She's like I said, I mean, she just knows everything about a lot of sports. And we think a lot alike.
You do.
You know what I'm saying? Like a lot of the things that she thinks about as a player, like us being the same age and stuff, we have a lot in common.
That's why she's going to be great on the Best Damn Sports
show,
show.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. What are you going to call it?
I don't know, but we can't keep calling it the Best Damn Sports Show.
Right. It's like, what could be a play off that? That's like, yeah. That's Sadie. I like that. Sure, I did. My Damn Sports Show. That's pretty good,
there
actually.
Go, yeah.
I like that. So we're going to, next week, it's Thanksgiving, so we'll be off.
I won't be off. I'll be crushing food. Yeah, bro. That's my prime. Oh, this is my favorite holiday because
oh
it pisses
God.
Me off so much when people go from Halloween to Christmas. Like, right. Don't skip my fucking holiday. This is my holiday, Thanksgiving. I get to eat all I want.
You just basically did the best PSA for Thanksgiving I've ever heard. Like, to hashtag that. Don't skip my fucking holiday. That is fantastic. Well, hey, have a wonderful Thanksgiving,
you
friend.
Too, bro.
And we will be back the following Thursday after Thanksgiving. Remember to rate, review, subscribe. And the greatest gift you can give your family and friends on Thanksgiving is showing them how to subscribe to R2C2. Don't forget that. Don't just bring the yams to Aunt, you know, Dawn's house. Make sure you also bring the gift of a subscription to R2C2.
For sure.
It's free.